The Aluminum Company of North Carolina is proud to sponsor Kane's Corner with Adam Gold.
Stall on the faceoff circle to the Caps. Play it back to Van Riemsdyk. He shot through traffic, rolls in, they'll score on the rebound. Alexander Ovechkin pounds the rebound home, and Washington takes the 1-0 lead. Draws one by the Caps, and the shot from the point is flung home. And out in front, Carlson's shot deflected by Ovechkin, and a late goal here, and Washington goes up 2-0. 35 seconds left in the power play. Teravainen, he goes cross rink. Oh, puts the shot right on. Save is made by Kemper, and the Caps will clear. Everything but score from Carolina on this power play.
That is as good as that group has looked at some time. Teravainen's looked good in Andre's spot.
And now here comes a play coming in. It's Wilson on Kochetkov. Oh, net! Piotr Kochetkov on Wilson. Still play going on. And a bigger save! Oh, my Piotr! How'd you come up with that one? Out of the box comes Nason. And on the power play goes Carolina. We'll start with the Shea group because Nason joins the power play. Now it's Shea. One-timer, Natchez! He scores! Crank it up, Marty Natchez! We're tied at two! Canes on the power play! Now a giveaway out front. Ovechkin right up! Rebound for Strome! He couldn't control it! Oh, Kochetkov showing the athletic ability to get enough on that try. Now shot out front. Another save by Kochetkov.
But a loose rebound. And Slavin really did his job in front. If he took a breath, Kochetkov thinking Burns would manage that puck. Ovechkin's got a hat trick.
Gensel will get to the puck. Back for Burns. Burns shot. Kicked away. Oh, shoots. He scores! On the rebound. A juicy rebound is pumped home. And the Canes put the squeeze on the Caps. It's 3-2.
This is Canes Corner with Adam Gold. A production of 99.9 The Fan. Now, here's your host, Adam Gold.
Welcome to the Canes Corner podcast, everyone. Hi, I'm Adam Gold. Welcome to lovely, dry Phoenix, Arizona for the second straight night. Only a happier time in Phoenix today because the Hurricanes came away with a 4-2 win. Kind of the same pattern, right? We'll get to it. We're brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. No place like it. Sammy Hanner's crew do a great job. You should check them out for all of your exterior home improvement needs. AluminumCompany.com. All right. Unlike last night where I said we weren't going to be here very long, and we were the normal time, probably not keep you as long tonight. What with the big game, everybody's got to get prepared for tomorrow's NC State win over Purdue. Great season for the Wolfpack women, who unfortunately ran up against South Carolina, and that's like banging your head against a brick wall. 37-0 for a reason now. Wolfpack had a great year and fell in the national semifinals. All right, let's get to tonight's game.
Adam Gold in studio with my man Ryan Monsine from the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. You guys have tons of products. Let's talk about gutters, specifically the gutter helmet.
Yeah, gutter helmets can make it so you never have to clean out the inside of your gutters again. And also, if you need new gutters, the Aluminum Company can help you out with that too. You don't have to stop, get a separate contractor to do the wood rot, the gutters. We can take care of it all. The Aluminum Company in North Carolina is a one-stop shop. We give free, no-obligation estimates. We can come out there, assess what you have going on with your gutters, and make a recommendation and make it so you don't have to get up on a ladder and do a dangerous chore anymore.
People don't understand how dangerous it is. Or maybe I'm just nervous when I get on a step stool because I'm not very tall. But that product is amazing. The gutter helmet is amazing. Is it one size fits all?
Absolutely. The gutter helmet can work on existing gutters, new gutters, 5-inch, 6-inch gutters. We can help you with it all.
800-672-4348. Online, aluminumcompany.com for a free no obligation estimate for your gutter helmet.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
First thing I want to do is I want to thank all of you for hanging out with us, being here before I got here, as we try to get all of these things kind of mashed together from the Final Four in Phoenix. Normally for home games, I really like to be at the arena, but normally NC State's not playing in a Final Four. So we're here. Last night, Carolina started the game down 3-0 after, 11 minutes against the Boston Bruins. And tonight, they were down 2-0 after the first period to the Washington Capitals. But since we have eyeballs, we can see the difference between the two. Yesterday was a defensive mess. And it frankly could have been, were it not for Freddie Anderson playing as well as he did. It could have been a lot worse than 3-0. Could have been 5-0. Remember the game in Edmonton this year? I think Carolina trailed 6-0 after one. All the ingredients yesterday were there for something like that to happen. And it didn't. Freddie Anderson made a bunch of really good saves. Today, Carolina trailed 2-0 in the first period. Well, I didn't believe Carolina was all that good offensively. I don't think Carolina was really dangerous at all. The one wrap chance for Yevgeny Kuznetsov and the follow-up by Natchez, that was it. Maybe the backhand try, a great pass from Teravainen, who looked awfully good tonight. That line looked good tonight. Maybe that was sort of a chance. But Carolina wasn't really dangerous in the first period. And both Washington goals were basically the same. I mean, the goals weren't the same, but how it happened were the same. Offensive zone faceoff for the Capitals. Jordan Staal in the faceoff circle. Gets beat clean both times. The first by, I believe, Connor McMichael. The second by Dylan Strome. And Alexander Ovechkin wins a battle in front of the net. He won the first battle with Jacob Slavin. The shot comes through. From the point through traffic, actually didn't even get to Kochetkov clean. It kind of rattled around, then got to Kochetkov, and the puck bounced off his pad. But because Ovechkin had inside position on Slavin, it was an easy put away for a rebound goal. As a matter of fact, for most of the period, Washington had just 3 shots on goal, and those were 2 of the shots. So that was the first goal. The second goal came very late in the period. Again, offensive zone draw. Jordan Staal loses it clean. Puck gets out to Carlson. His shot wasn't that great a shot, probably going wide of the net. And Alexander Ovechkin in front, battling with Brett Pesce, gets a stick out, deflects past Kochetkov. It's 2-0. Carolina wasn't playing that bad. They just weren't great offensively. And Darcy Kuemper, whenever there were chances, played well. I actually think Kemper's best play came in the first 10 minutes of the second period. Carolina got a power play. They created some momentum, just didn't get a goal. Then Kochetkov had to make 2 really good saves after the Hurricanes power play expired. And then Jake Guentzel makes the play, to me, the play of the game. Because at this point, Carolina needs to get a goal. Darcy Kuemper has not had a good year. He has certainly not even had a good run in this year. And he's in a 16-game stretch where he's basically giving up at least 3 goals a game. Seriously, in this 16-game run, he had only given up, I believe, or his 15 starts, he'd only given up fewer than 3 goals in his start in these starts twice. Twice. Fewer than 3. Remember the game in Washington a few weeks ago, that gong show of a game where Washington won at 7-6? Kuemper was pulled after 2 periods. Charlie Lindgren came in. Carolina still got 2 goals on him, I believe, in the third period. But Kuemper gave up 4 goals to the Hurricanes in that game. Carolina, I mean, Kuemper just hasn't been able to reclaim anything that resembled his form when he won a Stanley Cup. Well, I think he was the goaltender with Colorado when they won the Cup, right? So he hasn't been able to do that. Did I have that right? Was it Kuemper? It might not have been Kuemper. It might have been somebody else. Anyway, Kemper's been good before, just hasn't been good this year. So the Hurricanes just hadn't been able to solve him. I think he's been good against Carolina, if my recollection, serves. And I will check it out as we move through this. But that goal by Jake Guentzel, which is a great pair of hands, because first of all, it's a bouncing puck. To just be able to get anything on it is good. And then to put it where he had to, which is basically just under the bar. And the, I am correct, Christopher, bingo, mind like a steel sieve. Gensel getting that goal just allowed Carolina to relax. Just to get one, to make the third period a one-shot hockey game, is, of course, as long as Carolina got it to the finish line in the second, which they did. It just made everything feel much better. But even in the third, with for all of Carolina's pressure, and there was some pressure, not as much early. I thought Washington's best play, maybe all game, was defensive play, was probably the first 5 or 6 minutes of the third period. But eventually, Carolina was getting to their game, but they had to kill a penalty again. Washington 0 for 3 on the power play. Remember the game in D.C., which we already referenced? 3 out of 6 on the power play for Washington. Tonight, 0 for 3. Carolina's penalty kill continues to be the best in the world. Probably why they won tonight. It's probably, as I've talked to Tripp Tracy about, probably worth anywhere from 15 to 18 points on the year. Hurricanes kill off the first, 145. Sonny Milano takes a penalty to negate the last part. Carolina wastes the 15 seconds of 5-on-5 time. Stephen Nason comes out of the box. Pass across to Martin Natchez for an absolute bullet. What a great shot. He scores a lot of big goals. I don't know what the future holds for Natchez here. Okay, I really don't. It's going to depend on what Carolina does in the what he does in the postseason. But boy, that shot had a laser beam behind it. That ties the game. Carolina continues to press. Again, Kochetkov, when asked, when needed, rose to the occasion. The Burns turnover, which became the Ovechkin shot, which wasn't a great Ovechkin shot. I think he kind of whiffed on it. Maybe it was deflected. I don't know. Wasn't a great shot. But the Burn, that turnover led to a grade A chance. And then the follow-up, Kochetkov had to get over, but I don't think the shot ever got there. But anyway, he had to be able to react quickly. Kochetkov had to make some great saves tonight. But once the Hurricanes got it even, it was a matter of time, and I think Tripp pointed it out on the broadcast, Washington would have been very happy dragging this game to overtime, just taking a point out of it. But Carolina is applying pressure. I think the Hurricanes could sense that. They really weren't concerned with Washington trying to push for offense because I think Washington was essentially trying to park the bus and take it to overtime and take their chances, which has been successful for them against Carolina twice in a shootout they won. One time, Carolina lost to Evgeny Kuznetsov. The other, it was Dylan Strome in the fifth round of the shootout. So Aho draws a penalty. Aho gets the power play goal. And Jake Gensel tacks on the empty netter and it's 4-2 win. But the difference between last night and tonight was that Carolina played much more sound defensively. That, to me, was the difference. Last night, it was a mess in the first period, and then Boston is the wrong team to spot 3 goals to. Tonight, it was much better defensively. Washington didn't really generate a ton of offense against Carolina, and the Canes had enough to win the game. Now, offensively, Carolina's still not quite there. You can't generate all the shot totals that you're doing without enough of them. Natural Stat Trick had Carolina for 6 high danger chances in the first period. 2? In my opinion, 2. The Kuznetsov wrap chance and then the Natchez follow-up, those were the 2 best chances. I didn't really see a lot else that I loved offensively in the first period. Second period, I'm with you. They Natural Stat Trick had him for 11. These are high danger. So yeah, I see it. A bunch of those came on the power play. That power play in the middle of the second just did everything but score. But I didn't think Carolina, and Carolina hasn't been particularly dangerous. Before tonight, they had 11 goals in the last 5 games. One of those was an empty net goal. So 2 goals a game. Now you're still winning a lot of games because you're getting great goaltending and you play great defense. But 2 goals a game is not enough. So it's one of these stretches that, yes, Carolina has been prone to, but before people go jumping off a ledge, the previous 12 games, they scored 51 goals, and only one of those goals, I'm pretty sure, was into an empty net, right? So this is a team more than actually, there might have been a couple more than one, but they've been averaging 4 goals a game for a dozen games. So this last 5-game stretch before today is, honestly, it's more the outlier. I understand how everybody is afraid that the Hurricanes' offense of the past is going to show up in the future. I can't tell you that it won't, because it may, but I'm not as concerned as maybe some of you. But it certainly has been a problem the last couple of games. All right, let's get to a couple of things. And I thank you very much for joining us here on the Canes Corner Podcast live on YouTube. You should check it out. Tell your friends, subscribe, like, pass it along, rate, review, all of that. I want to get a couple of things here that I think are important, and then we'll jump out of here. We talk about how good the Aho Gensel Jarvis line has been. And it was great again tonight. And it was great in all three zones. It has been great, really, since Gensel joined it. So there's Jake with two goals. Yes, the empty netter, but 3 points tonight. So in 13 games with the Hurricanes, five goals, 16 assists, and a plus 12. Since Gensel joined the Aho line with Jarvis, since that line was put together in the second period of the game in Toronto, Aho's got nine goals and nine assists in 11 games. He's a plus 10. Jarvis has eight goals, three assists in 11 games. He's a plus 11. So obviously that line has been great. We've waited for Kuznetsov, Natchez, and we thought Svechnikov to be great, and it really hasn't been. Andre did not play tonight. He was sick. I don't know. I'm not saying that Andre was, air quotes here, sick. I'm not saying he was sick, but maybe Rod was sick of watching Andre go to the penalty box. It is not in Rod's nature to healthy scratch players. I keep saying this. It just isn't. He does not punish players with ice time. He will reduce ice time, but for his star players, and you cannot deny that Andrei Svechnikov is a star player, that's not the way Rod works. Now, if you want to think that Brindamore Moore told Andre that he wasn't feeling well, well, I can't stop you from thinking that. All I'm going to tell you is, as well as I know the head coach, that isn't how he works. If there was something or an illness bothering Andre and he said something to the head coach, Rod would absolutely say, hey, this game don't matter. What matters is in about 2.5 weeks. Get yourself ready. My anticipation is that we'll see Andre on the ice on Sunday. Okay. We'll get to Andre in a second. The bigger picture about where Andre fits right now on this team. But what Andre's absence did was twofold, and it was good in both ways. The first didn't work out. The second did. The first is it really brought Staal, Martinook, and Foss together again. And it wasn't their best. They were on the ice for the two Washington goals, but it wasn't like run-of-play goals. They were both face-off losses by Staal and then great goals by Ovechkin, who also hit a post tonight and had two other great scoring chances. It was Alexander Ovechkin at his finest. But that line, I think, needs to be together. I've said it 1,000 times. That line needs to be together in the postseason. I think that's Carolina's identity. I think it trickles down. We see how they play. The rest of them play the same way, and that's the way Rod wants them to play. Now, not everybody could do it the way Staal, Martinook, and Foss do it, but that's the way this team is built to play. So that's the first thing it did, is that it reunited them. The second thing it did is that it put Teuvo Teravainen on the left side of Kuznetsov with Natchez on that line, and the analytics will tell you this. That trio is way more effective than when Andre is on the left side of Kuznetsov and Natchez. The next part of this equation is, how does it stay together without Andre getting lost in his own head that he's playing with Jack Drury and Steph Nason, which should be a great line and should be an enormous advantage for Carolina against anybody in the postseason. But you got to convince Andre of that if, in fact, Rod looks at Teravainen with Kuznetsov and Natchez, because what Teravainen brings to that line is a defensive acumen that Andre can't. And it's a defensive mindset that line has to have. Because if they just go off the reservation, it's going to be a gong show. I said it before, the numbers even bore that out. That line is going to be super fun for everybody, including the other team's fans. Fun to watch Kuznetsov and Natchez work, but also good to play against them if you have another good line. Teravainen, mitigates the problem with his ability on the defensive side of the puck. I think that line can be really good. Now you just have to get Andre to buy in. Because honestly, playing with Jack Drury is, I think, a bonus for Andre. Maybe better with Drury than with Kuznetsov for Andre, to be perfectly honest. My only fear was Kuznetsov and Teravainen playing together and nobody wants to shoot the puck. But I think Teravainen is more likely to shoot it. And if you don't, if you're looking for somebody to shoot, just find 88. Martin Natchez ain't shy. That line, by the way, was amazing tonight. Analytically speaking, Kuznetsov with Teravainen and Natchez was right there with the Aho line in terms of possession numbers, shots on goal, expected goal. Actually, expected goals was higher than the Aho line. And expected goals against was basically the same. It was 0.03 for Aho, 0.04 for Kuznetsov and company. So that line was; those lines were great. Fourth line was also very good tonight. Kokaniemi drawing in for Andre playing on the left side of Drury and Nason. Again, that line was very good. Jack continues to be incredibly solid. He's such a smart player. All right, a couple things, and then we'll wrap it up. Power play. 2 for 4. The power play to me tonight looked much more snappy than it has in the past few games. Now, they've managed to eke out a fair number of power play goals over this stretch where I don't think the power plays looked all that great, and they've scored enough on the power play to keep them where they are in terms of, what, third in the NHL, and they're still operating at about 26%. So that's good. They haven't gotten a ton of power play opportunities in the last 6 or 7 games. And it's hard to be good on the power play if you only get 1 or 2 a game. And they only got 3. They got 3 tonight? They got 4 tonight. They were 2 for 4. But tonight's power play, man, they moved the puck well. They, especially the one in the second period that didn't score. Gosh, I don't know how you didn't score on that power play. It was amazing. I think Teravainen had a backhand try basically in an empty net, and it didn't go. But I thought the power play was excellent all night long. And 2 for 4. 3 out of 3 on the penalty kill, which continues to be one of the great stories in the NHL this year. I mean, Carolina, in spite of the fact that they started out at about 60% the first 8 games, and they gave up 4 power play goals in 1 game to Tampa, 2 power play goals in a game to Chicago, one that they won, and then 3 power play goals to the Capitals the last time these two teams played in D.C. Hurricanes are still like at near 87% killing it off. It is incredible what they have done. Now, if you rely so much on the penalty kill, which Carolina has done, you can't afford to see it go the other way when you get to the playoffs. And you really can't afford to see it drop off much. You could probably survive if it's at least better than 80%. Killing off 4 out of every 5 would probably be good enough in the postseason as long as you are matching that with a power play. Again, I keep saying this. When you get to the playoffs, you can't lose special teams. As long as Carolina doesn't lose special teams, I think they'll win the series. I don't care who they play, as long as they don't lose special teams. Carolina right now is probably would be a favorite if you were betting to win special teams. Best penalty kill in the league, 3rd best power play in the league. That combination should be good enough to win, but the goal should be to not lose. Carolina at 5-on-5 should be able to beat anybody. Don't lose special teams. If you win them, they're going to win a Stanley Cup. I mean, it's not a guarantee, but if they win the special teams battle like they can, their chances go through the roof to be last team standing, as Rod Brind'Amour likes to say. One more thing, then we'll go. Pyotr Kochetkov didn't have a lot of work tonight, but Pyotr kept him in it. 2-0, first period. Second period, the chances that Washington were getting, they weren't getting a ton, but boy, they were like amazing. What's higher than grade A? Like when you go to the grocery store and you buy eggs, like they have grade A, these were like grade A jumbo eggs with double yolks. I don't know, I'm making stuff up here. But the chances were so good and Kochetkov kept them in it. The 2 saves he made, the one on the Tom Wilson breakaway and then the Connor McMichael follow-up. Those were the 2 best saves he made. I know the Burns turnover to Ovechkin, which would have been a hat-trick goal, I didn't think Ovechkin got a lot on the shot. The follow-up rebound, whoever that was, that shot, I don't think it ever was on frame. He didn't. Somebody just basically whiffed on it. But those shots by Wilson on the breakaway and then McMichael on the follow-up, those two were great saves. And I thought Piotr played really, really well. So no matter what happens, and the more you watch, the more you realize Frederik Andersen's probably going to start game one as long as he's healthy. Every time we have worries about whether or not Kochetkov can do it, he shows you he can do it. So if Kochetkov has to play, Carolina's fine. Freddie right now, one of the best goalies in the game, let him work. And I love the fact that Rod is going essentially you, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. But we know who's going to start, I believe, game one of the playoffs. And that will do it for us. I appreciate you hanging out with me. I'm in Phoenix for the Final Four. Canes will be off until Sunday against Columbus. Wolfpack on the court just after 6 o'clock Eastern time against the Purdue Boilermakers. And then on Monday, NC State who? Connecticut? NC State? Alabama? Who do we like? See everybody next time on the Canes Corner podcast. It'll be the final one from PNC Arena this regular season. And then we'll only do like however many home games there are in the playoffs till Carolina wins 16 times. And until then, I appreciate you. We're brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it there. Sammy Hanner's crew do a great job. AluminumCompany.com. Talk to you Sunday.
You've been listening to the Canes Corner Podcast with Adam Gold.
Hey, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yes, I do.
The Canes Corner Podcast is a part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network.